Southern Living has given us the exposure, right? The outcome and the benefits long-term that we gain from that article basically will be what we make of it. And we cannot let this moment die because it's not insignificant. It's not minor. It's a major, major piece of recognition.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Corder. We're excited to bring you the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana with all of the tools you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
Another great show for you today. Uh-huh. We're nearing episode 50. How about that?
Woo-hoo.
And obviously, as we get closer to 52, you know, we're getting closer and closer to 2 years of the podcast. But episode 41, we're talking to Kimberly Delafosse with the City of Lake Charles, and she's going to talk to us about Lake Charles being named one of the top southern cities on the rise in the country. Southern Living giving us that distinction. We'll discuss all of that and talk really about why Lake Charles is so special and some really fun things coming up on the horizon. A great, great conversation. Kimberly was a trip. You don't want to miss it. But before we get to that, as we always do, it's time for On V Eats.
And for On V Eats this week, we're actually going somewhere trying out something that Kimberly suggested.
Yes, Toga Grill, a local Mediterranean spot that opened in 2009 by the Chaloun family. They serve authentic Lebanese and Greek Mediterranean style food. And the recipes are authentic to some of the matrons in the family. Jamal Chaloun, his aunt, and his sister were really the recipe makers of the family, and it's now passed along to his two sons and his daughter that all help in different aspects of the business. So truly, it is a family-ran business and one of the best spots in town. And let me tell you, Jillian, the second you open the door, as we both know, the smell of the food hits you immediately, and it just wraps you in like a big, warm, delicious hug.
Yeah, the food is rich. It's savory. You can smell that, like Brady said, when you walk in. And just the food all the way around, so good. From start to finish, it was a really great meal.
Yeah, and as you know, Mediterranean food is one of those diets that have really started when you kind of eat as the Mediterraneans do in terms of their food styles. It's one that you eat and you feel good about it from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And even after you leave, you know that you ate really high quality ingredients that are prepared in ways that are good for you. And it's really, really good. Things like fresh lamb, chicken, seafood, vegetarian dishes and sandwiches. And they incorporate spices like saffron, cumin, paprika, and mint. So some that are common that in a lot of the foods we eat and some that really aren't. And so you're getting some flavors that you're not used to.
That's right. We started off our meal with an appetizer. We got the kibbeh, which is absolutely delicious. So kibbeh is kind of the Mediterranean answer to
a hush puppy, a meat pie, somewhere in between.
Yeah, I think it is the Lebanese answer to a boudin ball.
Okay. It's, yes. You know what? That's
right?
A good point.
Okay, ground meat, and it's in a shell that's deep fried. So kind of got a similar texture, at least to it. It's really crunchy shell. It's cracked wheat, and it's stuffed with sauteed ground meat and onions. Very savory. It's served with a garlic dipping sauce that I wish they bottled. And I'm unfortunately going to say that several times throughout this because I dipped everything that I ordered in it.
It's a deep, deep brown. The color and the texture are so beautiful there on the outside. And it's sweet. It smells, not the inside isn't sweet, but the outside, the crust is very sweet smelling. So it just kind of pulls you in, that meaty and garlic taste, a crunchy outside. So savory, really, really good. And it's a fun appetizer to really open the meal from there.
For sure. And then my meal, I got the chicken shawarma, which was chicken, perfectly bite-sized little pieces of chicken, really well seasoned and cooked on a bed of rice. It comes with hummus, potatoes, cabbage salad, and more of the garlic dipping sauce, along with some pieces of pita as well.
And I know shawarma is a lot more popular nowadays than maybe it has been 20 years ago. Obviously, like in the South and Louisiana, even things, funny enough, like the Avengers. You know, they have a line at the end of it where they talk about shawarma. And it's, so it's kind of become more popular. Ultimately, shawarma means through translation, rotisserie style food. And so what they do is they chop up pieces of chicken or pork or beef, whatever, and they put it vertically on basically a rotisserie spire. And then they have cut off of the sides. So you're getting like really good pieces all mixed in. And it is such a cool way to do it. And the flavor speaks for itself.
Yeah, the chicken was absolutely delicious. I mean, everything on the plate was, like I said, everything was really good. Savory, the hummus, not an overwhelming flavor. You know, sometimes you get a flavored hummus, sure, if you will. This wasn't an overwhelming flavor, but it added just the right amount of creaminess, just the right texture to the rest of the dish.
And there's different sandwiches and other things like that, but most of their entrees all come prepared the same way outside, sure, of the meat. And I got the lamb chops, which are obviously the kind of the curved around the rib, and it's got a nice little chunk of tender meat. So flavorful, and they throw it on the grill. It's so good, and it pairs so well with ultimately the entire spread of, like you said, rice, hummus, potatoes, cabbage salad, garlic, and pita. Love the potatoes. The potatoes were seasoned so well, and they were crunchy. So good. Each of those things were so awesome. And I'll tell you what I did. It might be a faux pas to do it. I'm not sure. But I like mixing my rice with the hummus, yeah, to make kind of a creamy rice. And it, to me, it kind of, they each elevate each other in their own way. And the rice had tons of flavors. You know, I think they had some chopped onions in there, and they definitely add a lot of different seasonings to the rice, sure, to kind of elevate it. And they paired so well, like I said, with the hummus, and then you dip the pita in it. Ultimately, it's a great meal, and you feel really good. It was heavy initially, and then immediately it's light. So it doesn't really, true, sit on you. So you feel full from eating a good bit of food, but it doesn't sit with you for hours and hours.
It was one of those places where the plate comes out and it's so much food that I go, oh, there's no way I'm going to finish this. Infamous last words, right? As I scrape the plate clean. Yep. It was really, really delicious. And, you know, this is kind of one of those unsuspecting places. Like from the outside, it's in a shopping center, and you may not initially be drawn to it or say like, oh, I bet it's fabulous, but man, it's so good. Behind those mirrored glass windows, like there is something special going on there at Toga.
For sure. And especially kind of how they started. They started as a different type of store, and then they eventually transitioned into a restaurant, and then they bought the space next to them, and then they expanded to two places. So it's a place that's grown with Lake Charles as well.
Sure.
And so they've been a part of the Lake Charles family for a long time, and it's so good to have them here. And they're really, really good. And the Mediterranean food that they produce adds a little extra culture to the area and is so appreciated, and it's so delicious.
And they're super conveniently located at West McNeese and Nelson Road. So let's say you're having a weekend here in Lake Charles, or you're taking a staycation, easy access to get to next to all the other fun things to do here in Lake Charles on a very busy Nelson Road. So perfect little stop to enjoy some lunch or dinner.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Kimberly Delafosse with the City of Lake Charles. She has served as the Assistant City Manager since 2017, which means she's in charge of seeing the city's operational, economic development, and community service plan through. She also develops youth outreach programming, meaning that her hands are all over the continued development of Lake Charles, which also means she's a perfect fit for the conversation today. Welcome to the show, Kimberly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Southwest Louisiana is known for our big city amenities and small town charm, which makes for a variety of experiences that anyone can add to their itinerary when visiting Lake Charles. But before we get started, we ask each guest just a few questions to let our viewers know you a little bit better and see how you play in Louisiana's playground. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, question number one, crawfish or gumbo?
Okay, here we go. Not really either.
What? What?
Interesting.
Okay, so let me tell you this. Probably more so gumbo, but I eat more of the meat out of the gumbo, and I'm not eating the roux.
Interesting.
And I will eat a crawfish, but like this past Good Friday when my family boiled the crawfish, mm-hmm, I didn't eat it. I mean, not one. I ate all of the fried catfish.
Okay. That's,
yeah.
So what?
And I can cook a gumbo, and sure, my family, great cooks. What that
just,
is.
Just not. So what's your favorite Louisiana Cajun style cuisine dish?
Oh, I love shrimp.
Okay.
I absolutely love fried shrimp. I just love shrimp. So okay, after shrimp, it would have to be boudin. I could, okay. I love boudin and pancakes. I could eat that every day.
Boudin and pancakes.
You know, shrimp and grits. There we go.
Boudin
and pancakes.
Okay. Well, maybe we should change our question to be crawfish gumbo or
boudin and pancakes.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Okay. Our next question is poolside or beachside?
Okay. Here I go. Here's Kimberly. Neither. Okay. Festival. Outdoor festival.
Okay.
That's my love.
All right. Yeah. You don't need to be by the water. Not necessary.
I do not need to be by the water. I know a lot of people who do. And I love what water brings to a community.
Sure.
I love our lakefront. But for me, I'm just an outdoor festival kind of girl.
I like to look at it, but don't want to necessarily be
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay. Well,
I'm dispelling all the questions.
Well, I can't wait to see where you go with this one.
Okay.
Concert or comedy show?
Oh, both. I love to laugh. I love to laugh, so I love a good comedy show, and I love music. My mom's a music teacher, so I love concerts too. So I don't think I have a choice between those two. I love them both equally.
She has evaded giving an answer on all of these questions.
I think there will never be another guest that has the same answer. She wasn't copying off anyone's paper today.
I will
on those.
Not.
No, it's all you. Okay. Well, good. Now we know you a little bit better.
Yes.
through like you said, not answering technically
right.
the questions. Well, let's start the conversation. And look, we're not going to kind of bury the lead here. Southern Living. As you know, the national publication named Lake Charles as one of the top southern cities on the rise. That type of distinction, what does it mean to you?
First of all, I love Southern Living magazine. I have been a subscriber for years. For me, Southern Living was like the first influencer. You know, mm-hmm. you now you go on social media and influencers are telling you where to vacation, where to eat, where to dine and whatnot. Well, prior to all of that, Southern Living magazine was that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so just the recommendations for recipes, the places to travel, hotels to seek out, boutiques, all of those things were always things that I sought out when I read the magazine. So to see the city of Lake Charles featured in that magazine with that specific designation, a southern city on the rise. That's incredible. It's huge. And I still do not believe we've all recognized what that means for our city. To have that designation in a magazine, and I looked this up before I came in, Southern Living's readership on a monthly basis is like 26 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
The average household income of a person who reads that magazine is like $111,000. What could that do for your tourism,
mm-hmm.
right? Just having that little blip of a feature saying, like, Charles may have had its share of damage or whatnot, but that city is on the rise thanks to lakefront development and other projects. That's huge. So that means someone who's in Tennessee or someone who may even read it on the West Coast because he or she desires to see what the Southern lifestyle is about, they really get an opportunity to say, well, you know what? Look at this city here. You know, we know about Charleston. We know about Savannah, but let's check out Lake Charles. This magazine, this incredible magazine, has said this city is worth considering because it's doing something. It's something great. And you cannot undermine or underestimate what that means for this community.
And of all the communities that are recognized by Southern Living, what do you think stands out most about Lake Charles to you?
Well, it's our culture, right? We have a lakefront, you know, some of the other cities on the list have lakefronts and some of the traditional amenities, downtowns and whatnot. But we have a unique culture. 75 festivals, right? 75 festivals in Southwest Louisiana. Where can you get that anywhere else, right? Incredible food, wonderful music. And when you mesh all of that with just the people's attitudes about just having a great time and persisting and doing and being, I think that's what sets us apart. And so we really need to take this moment, take this designation and just ride it all the way to the wheels come off because it really matters. And we have great assets here in this city. And it's time, it's about time that some national publication recognized that because we had great assets before the storm. We still have those great assets, and we have incredible people who make for just wonderful culture that's worth selling and promoting.
I'm glad you're mentioning the assets because, you know, one of the kind of the lines in the story mentions that there's plenty of those projects that are underway, places like Port Wonder, just outside of our window here where we can see it. What do you see as some of the most impactful changes upcoming within the next year or two here to Lake Charles?
Well, we have, obviously, we cannot have this conversation without mentioning what that lakefront activation means. For the last, 2005 was Hurricane Rita. So for the last 20 years or so, that the lakefront has essentially sat unactivated. So now it's being reactivated with Port Wonder and then following up with Crying Eagle and whatever else will come because of those projects. That is tremendous. Those are catalytic projects. But then on the heels of that, you have all of the projects that are coming from LC Rebound, some of which will begin breaking ground over the next 12 to 18 months. And although LC Rebound has a number of projects that are infrastructure, it also includes a lot of projects that are driven from the quality of life aspect. Consider the conversations about what that amphitheater reactivation, because that was a project in LC Rebound, what that will do for the person like me who loves outdoor festivals. You know, and what that will do for the life of just drawing people to our downtown and, of course, activating the event center even more. So I'm excited about what LC Rebound will bring to the community. I'm overly excited for the way the lakefront is going to just change perceptions, just people driving over the bridge, that perception that even if they don't stop at that moment, they'll know that it's something different. And I think it'll speak to the fact that people will say, what's going on in Lake Charles? Maybe when we come back, we'll stop. Or let's make plans to go see what's going on now that we see all of this activation taking place on that lakefront. I just really believe we are on to something big, and we're having this conversation now. 5 years, we'll be like, wow, I cannot believe. And 10 years down the road, it's going to be an even greater conversation. We just have to believe that we have the tools to take it to the next level as a community and support those amenities. And then, of course, tourism will come because we already have, like I said, great assets and a culture that's so magnetic.
This article obviously allows people outside of Lake Charles to see the beauty and the great opportunities and fun activities and everything that we have to offer here, right? Sometimes I think people get a little complacent, right? You live in a place for enough time and it's old hat. Right. It's the same. Think of it as being
almost tunnel vision, right?
Yeah. Yes. Tunnel vision in a way. Yeah. You've got your blinders on because you're just going through the motions of your daily life.
Yes.
You don't see your own city as necessarily a destination like other people might.
Exactly.
How do we reinvigorate the people that live here to realize what a great place we have to offer?
I love campaigns that focus on locals where you imagine yourself as a tourist in your own city, right? And so you start to look at the things that you've never done, restaurants you've never dined at, just events you've never attended, and then you start to go, right? I've never been to Toga Restaurant, and I love Mediterranean food. So I made a point for a friend and I to go. It was like being a tourist in my own city. I'd never eaten there, and the food was incredible. So I think local campaigns that once again challenge the residents to get out and do something different, get out and see something different, participate in an event that you've never, like I said, attended, and you will begin to see that your city has more to offer than you give it credit for. You know, too often people, and it's not just our people locally, it's just something that happens anywhere. You get in the habit, you go to work, you go home, you get caught up with the kids, and you don't really look out and see all what's going on. Many of the events in Lake Charles are free for families. So I just challenge anyone who's listening, if you are from Lake Charles or Southwest Louisiana, go to visit Lake Charles's website or any of y'all's social media pages and look at the listing of events that are taking place and make it a point to start attending or going places you've never been before.
You know, I grew up in Southwest Louisiana. I'm from around these parts, if you will. And I may have been one of those people not taking advantage of everything that was here and offered to me until we had a big change. We had kids. We now have, you know, an almost 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and they've kind of opened our eyes up to new opportunities and new things in Lake Charles that maybe we just didn't even realize were happening. Every weekend, there's something for them to go do.
Absolutely.
We have been to monster truck rallies.
Yes.
We have held baby alligators.
Yes. We've touched trucks.
We've yes. gone to the Touch a Truck event. We plan on going to it again in a week. There are just so many things that are out there to do that maybe we just, again, we had our blinders on a bit. We just didn't think of it. And now that we have kids, that truly has opened up my eyes. I know for me that to a whole new world of like, oh, there is so much to do here.
Listen, I definitely would like to give our community services department a real shout out. So everyone knows in our departments, right, how much of an asset a really robust recreation department or how having a robust recreation department impacts a city. That's important. And we talk about those things all the time in our weekly meetings, excuse me. And so Mayor Hunter and our team, we're very intentional in creating a variety of programming that really touches kids in all parts of the city with a variety of programs. Like there's Art in the Park, Touch an Alligator. This Saturday coming up at Riverside Park, there's a fishing event where you can learn to fish. In the month of June, there's a free golf camp. And like I said, all of these events are free, mm-hmm. right? And they're spread throughout the entire city. So it gives every child, every family an opportunity to engage in a recreational opportunity. Because for some, that might be the Disney World, right? And so having robust recreation is so important. But I'll give you, I'm like the opposite of you. So you mm-hmm. said y'all have y'all's little ones and that's exposed you. That like having little ones has prompted you to go out and see more. Well, I'm now an empty nester. So my husband and I are no, you know, our boys are 26 and soon to be 22. And so, you know, prior to I was tournament baseball. I was at this baseball game. I was at this basketball game. So my time was so confined on the weekends that I didn't get an opportunity to really get out and see. But as an empty nester, I've discovered festivals that I didn't even realize existed. I did not know Chuck Fest existed mm-hmm. prior to my time working with the city because I was just so, like I said, with tunnel vision, worried about my kids and sports and whatnot. So there are just incredible things taking place in this city. And I just encouraged people to, like I said, visit Lake Charles and see all the listing of events because they are plentiful.
We'd kind of touched on all those events and the festivals and the other cities on the list. And we've talked about what kind of separates. But when you look at the culture, I feel like that really, at the end of the day, is the thing that makes Lake Charles shine. And Louisiana as a whole, mm-hmm. we're just obviously part of the boot. We're
yes.
in the hill.
Yes.
But that culture of Louisiana, and people say it once they visit, it's unlike anything else and anywhere else on the planet.
It is. You know, it's like buying a house that's a cookie cutter house in a, you know, a planned community versus buying one that's in a historic neighborhood. You just have more character and the character draws you in, right? So there are assets and amenities that exist within the city of Lake Charles and Louisiana as a whole that can be replicated in other cities. And those are fine and people still enjoy them. But I love the uniqueness of our culture, right? I love the music, right? Mm-hmm. I love the food. And I love how our people enjoy telling you about how good our food yes. is and telling you we have some of the best music and telling you, you know, we have a good time. We have a great party. So, you know, our citizens have embraced the idea of how spectacular our culture is. So I think that helps. And so when you look at Southern Living's list, great cities on that list, right? One other Louisiana city, but Lake Charles is just special. And like mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to harken back to a place. Where else can you go and find 75 different types of festivals? Like you can literally play in your own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that a lot. I love in the article, to use some of the terminology of the young people, they came with receipts, right?
Yes.
Because they
yes.
had done an article a few months prior of the 15 best things to do or the top things to do while yes. in Lake Charles, which obviously once they kind of wrote that article, they realized, I think, how special this community is.
There's way more than 15,
right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it really was, like, the choices that they had, it was a perfect mix of, like, food and culture and then our mm-hmm. casino gaming and then the outdoor playgrounds that we have with
yes.
places like our Sam Houston Jones State Park,
yes.
which we've done an episode on the podcast on, and Creole Nature Trail, which we've also done a podcast on if you're interested in either of those. How often do you get to go out and see these amenities?
So I looked at the list. I said, okay, I want to be prepared for my interview, right? I want to make an A. I told y'all my mom's a teacher. I was a teacher. She's retired. So I looked through the list. I said, okay, what did Southern Living suggest as the 15 things to do? And let's see where I fit into those 15 things. And I saw Historic City Hall on that list. And I think Historic City Hall is such a jewel mm-hmm. because it has some of the most incredible exhibits by some like world-renowned artists, and it's free. And I'm just a lover of arts and culture. So that absolutely is one of my places that I love.
Check.
Check. Yes. Then it talked about dining, and it was Crying Eagle listed on there. And I absolutely love Crying Eagle, not only for the good food and beverage, but the story of it all, right?
Sure.
I'm always anchored to places that have great stories and people who can tell those stories. And so the Averys have done a great job in telling their story. So I love that Crying Eagle was on that list because I'm a fan. Then, obviously, it listed the casinos. And you can't mention Lake Charles at this point without sure. mentioning the casinos. And though I'm not a gamer, I'm an eater.
Yeah.
So I love all of the great dining that the casinos offer the community and the great concerts. You know, you get to see some amazing artists at our casinos. So I thought that was a great add to the list. Now, I love the fact that it included the outdoor things like Creole Nature Trail and, of course, Sam Houston Jones Park, because that is a real seller. Like, people are really attracted to that. For me, unfortunately, I'm not like an outdoorsy kind of person, but
right.
it is still an asset that we possess
sure.
that we have to promote and protect because it's just such a gem. Those two yeah. are such a gem.
How often do you go to a place and you get to go do a little drive around a bunch of alligators just to check them out? Like, how often do
right.
you get to do that sort of thing
right.
here?
Right.
And I think that yeah, this is one of those things that's so unique.
Yeah,
to our
it's
area.
Such a unique amenity. And like I said, we just have to continue telling the stories and promoting what makes us special and these special natural resources in many cases. And so that, you know, people see that, you know, we are more than what they may think of us.
And I think it's important. I call it a core memory unlock, you know.
Yeah.
I grew up in South Louisiana on the opposite side in the toe of the boot. And you don't realize the things. We grew up camping a lot mm-hmm. In parks that look a lot like Sam Houston Jones State Park. I grew up on the shores of the Gulf of
yes.
Mexico at our camp that looks a lot like Cameron Parish
yes.
and the Creole Nature Trail. And I challenge, you know, I know you made a challenge earlier. Obviously, when people come in from out of town, they want to see those places.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And do those. But those that live here, take your kids, create those memories, because I promise you, I get a calling and I don't do it as often as I want to, mainly because I'm busy and have other things that we have to do. But as once my kids get older, we're going to be staples at these places that I remember growing up, because those are memories that I just remember.
Yes.
And they just have stuck with me. And to have those opportunities now in a new city, but still so familiar
yes.
is, once again, makes this area stand out so much.
Yeah, I my son, I think he was like late teens. He was like, Dad, because my husband is really an outdoors person.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go fishing. I want to go crabbing, because you've always talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay. So my husband rounded up his uncles. And they all like went on this male bonding trip, and they went down to Cameron and they went fishing and crabbing. And it was such a memory. And I felt great that he experienced it. But at the same time, I almost felt like guilty of not showing it to him before, because it is such a great amenity. And, you know, when you live in an area that's landlocked, think about it. You don't even get an opportunity to enjoy something that was just 20 minutes from where we live. Or even if you go like to the Civic Center steps, you can cast out a line. So,
yeah, that's one of those things growing up in this area. I mean, things you'll never forget. There's tons of great events that I went to and trips I went on with my family, and those were incredible and amazing. But some of my fondest memories are I caught my first shark on Holly Beach, and I'll never forget that. Right.
Right.
I mean, that's just one of those things that you just don't get that experience everywhere. And I think, really important, especially for the people that live here, to staycation here, if you will, and understand and appreciate this is a pretty cool place to live.
Definitely. I love the staycation. Yes. Yes.
So how do you envision this mention in Southern Living and the conversations like this one that it has spawned? How do you feel like it impacts the city in the long term, or maybe is the foundation for impacting the city in the long term?
Well, I think how it impacts us will depend upon how we continue to tell our story. Right. So Southern Living has given us the exposure. Right. They placed us out there, and I'm sure we're going to get some response because just the sheer number of people that read that magazine. And it didn't help that like Matthew McConaughey and his wife, beautiful people, are on the cover. So everybody's going to pick up a copy.
Doesn't hurt at all.
Doesn't hurt at all. All right. So
All right.
Yeah. So you have that initial exposure that will give us the bump. But I think what we do with that information and what we do with that amazing designation locally is what's going to end up being the end for us, right? The outcome and the benefits long term that we gain from that article basically will be what we make of it. We have to continue to tell our story. We have to continue to craft our story in a way that's meaningful, that shares what our assets are, recognizing, you know, where some of our challenges are and where we can fill in those gaps and make us even better. But we have to, we can't miss opportunities like this, and we cannot let this moment die, because it's not insignificant. It's not minor. It's a major, major piece of recognition, and we need to plaster it and talk about it any opportunity we get to get in front of a microphone or a camera to tell this story, because that's how important it is.
Keep the positive momentum going.
Yeah. And it's the truth. We are on the rise, right? Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, negative news spreads, let's change that narrative and let the positive news spread. And then let's embrace this and let's figure out other ways that maybe those of us who may not have been as active in the community, how can this article inspire us to get more involved, right? Because I think there's opportunity and potential that we've not even considered yet.
Well, let's end the conversation and leave our listeners with this thought. Your biggest hope for Lake Charles's future.
My biggest hope for Lake Charles's future rests in our ability to retain and attract young people here. We have great talent here, right? And I want young people to stay here. And so I think part of being able to get them to stay, or even if they move away for a moment, be willing to come back. I think being able to create that momentum will lie in, once again, the stories that we tell and capitalizing on moments like where we are now with this article. There's opportunity here, right? And so our greatest hope, obviously, is in our young people, but we have to keep them here. So let's tell the stories, involve them so that they see themselves a part of this place so they will want to stay.
Let's do it.
We have to do it.
Thanks again to Kimberly for joining us on the show, and thank you for taking time out of your day to join us on the podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please follow our podcast, leave us a rating or a review. I believe it's that plus sign that you see on your screen. Just press it. It's going to help us. And please leave us a rating. Let us know the job that you think we're doing. Are we doing really well? Give us 5 stars. If you don't think we're doing well, give us 5 stars anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Don't leave that review. Come on. Leave the good reviews. Because, of course, those reviews and ratings, they really help us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and Southwest Louisiana has to offer. You can go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this weekend. I'm Jillian Corder.
And I'm Brady Raynard. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. See you.